From the studios of Boise State Public Radio, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. Affordable housing is hard to come by these days, so residents of a mobile home park in our region were understandably worried when the property went up for sale. They were afraid they would lose their homes. Sarah Flower of KSUT Tribal Radio has more from the Mountain West News Bureau.
At the La Plata County Fairgrounds in Durango, Colorado, fiesta music is playing, children are running around, and the smells of carne asada fill the air. Residents of the Westside Mobile Home Park are celebrating an unlikely victory.
It is a David and Goliath story in so many ways.
That's Steph Cafanchi, CEO of the Elevation Community Land Trust. It helps families with affordable housing, like the largely Latino families at Westside. Late last year, the families found out Westside was for sale. They felt that if a developer took over, more than 240 people might be forced to move. And where could they find another affordable spot to live? That scenario has played out at other mobile home parks in the Mountain West, around Ketchum, Idaho, and Salt Lake City, Utah, for example.
But what we're seeing now is that as home prices go up, there becomes this broader and broader gap. And what we're going to see a generation from now is only the very, very wealthy will be homeowners.
And she says the hardest hit are families that would benefit most from home ownership and the chance to build some wealth. Like the families who live at Westside, roughly a mile from historic downtown Durango.
Black and brown families have been excluded from access to home ownership for generations, and that's why we have this racial wealth gap.
So Westside residents work with the land trust and the community to put in a $5.4 million bid for the property. It was rejected due to another all-cash offer. Here's Darcy Diaz, who's been living in Westside for 4 years. Fellow Westside resident Alejandra Chavez was translating for her.
We did definitely feel like bad, like we thought the negative, we went to the negative thoughts, like I don't know if it's going to happen, I don't know if, like all the thoughts went to our mind.
But Westside residents and the land trust didn't give up. They raised thousands more in the community. They also got a donation of over $500,000 from a local foundation and a $1.5 million loan from La Plata County. In April, the new offer was accepted and the celebrating started. Here's Chavez again, translating for Diaz.
But thank God we're here right now, and that's the most important thing, that we're here to celebrate.
And Diaz is optimistic about where Westside is headed.
For the future, we don't know yet. She has a lot in her mind, but she knows something positive is going to be happen. All we want is Westside to come out of the, the dark place where they were.
Meanwhile, Fanchi senses a renewed interest in affordable housing.
I've been working in affordable homeownership for probably 18 years now. And this is the first time that I have seen such a will, a general public will and political will around access to homeownership.
Once the sale is final, she says Elevation Community Land Trust will work with residents on changes that will improve Westside and better their lives. And there is plenty of work to be done, like cleaning up walkways, installing parks, and renovating the sewer system. This is Sarah Flower of KSUT Tribal Radio for the Mountain West News Bureau.
And the Treasure Valley is no stranger to this situation, where a long-established mobile home park is sold to a developer, and then the residents have to move out, and they often face much higher housing costs somewhere else. And that's the exact scenario facing residents of a mobile home park on the Boise Bench. And the city of Boise wants to buy up the property for a, quote, immediate affordable housing project. Now, a city council member says it would keep dozens of people in their homes. Margaret Carmel, senior reporter for BoiseDev.com, has reporting on this story and, of course, on all the other efforts the city is looking at in order to provide affordable housing. I want to welcome you back to the program, Margaret.
Thanks for having me.
So, Margaret, first, where is this mobile home park and what do we know about it?
So this park is located off of Vista Avenue near the airport, and it is a relatively small mobile home park. It's actually not even fully rented. There are some empty spaces in there. You know, I think it only has maybe a few, maybe two dozen homes. I'm not sure of the exact number, but it's definitely not a huge scale property. And I'm not really sure about the circumstances under which the city came to try to purchase it. But the city entered into due diligence on the property earlier this year, and they are currently exploring whether or not they're going to buy it. And that is very common with whenever a public entity buys projects. So they said they're going to buy it, city council approved it, and now they're in that negotiating, exploring phase.
And in fact, you wrote an article in BoiseDev.com about this sell back in March. How did you find out the city wanted to buy the property?
It was on a city council agenda, which is what happens whenever the city wants to buy any sort of property. And I want to make sure that I'm really clear here that this was not a situation where a developer said, I'm selling, everybody, you know, publicly said, I'm selling, and there was an outcry where folks were going to be removed from their homes and the city stepped in. This was, you know, which has happened in the past, which I can talk about later. But this was a situation where it kind of came up a little quietly on the city's agenda and said that they were interested in buying the property. It's unclear if the owners of the property went to the city or if the city was aware it was coming up and engaged in negotiations that way. But there are some questions about how exactly that happened. But we'll see if the city is going to move forward with the sale.
If they move forward with it, Margaret, how much will it cost the city to purchase it?
It's going to be roughly $3 million, which is certainly not a low price tag. But, you know, I think the city's point, city council members who supported it were saying, you know, this is immediate affordable housing. If the city purchases this parcel, it will preserve those people in their homes. And it is cheaper to keep naturally occurring affordable housing that already exists and keep people there, particularly with mobile homes that they a lot of people typically own in their house, than it is to build a brand new affordable housing, particularly with today's construction prices. So the city is viewing this as an investment, a potential investment into preserving, to basically stopping the flow of people into either homelessness or housing insecurity.
Has there been or will there be public testimony then on this sale, Margaret?
I don't think so. Typically, the city can purchase property without holding a public hearing. That they can always choose to hold a public hearing if they want. Mm-hmm. But my recollection at this time doesn't say that they're required to by code.
Okay. So what is it about this mobile home park that the city wants to save from development? Because as you mentioned, there have been parks, mobile home parks in the past that have sold, residents have faced eviction, and the city hasn't necessarily stepped in.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot at play here. First, whenever a mobile home park goes up for sale, the person who owns the park has to be willing to sell it to the city. The other thing to keep in mind is that although there have been a lot of mobile home parks that have gone up for sale in the Treasure Valley, very few, I don't believe there has been one that has been sold and then folks have been evicted in city limits. The vast majority of the mobile home parks that have sold and basically displaced people have been in Canyon County or have been in Garden City, which, as a lot of people know, historically has a lot of mobile home parks. So the last time that a park came up for sale and a lot of folks were going to be displaced was during the administration of former Mayor Brent Coles, whenever a park was going to be displaced for the Fred Meyer on Federal Way. And the city of Boise. Yeah, and the city of Boise stepped in, and they, instead of purchasing the property, what they did was they bought another property and located all of those mobile homes to that new property, which is coincidentally also still on Malad Street, which is the same street as this mobile home park the city is wanting to buy. And that park that goes back to the Coles administration is still owned by NeighborWorks, which is a homeownership nonprofit here in the Treasure Valley. So, you know, whenever you say what's different about this park, really what's different about it is that it's located in city limits of Boise, where there is political will and funds available to potentially step in and try to purchase that park for development. This, you know, the type of turnover of mobile home parks, we haven't seen that hit the city limits of Boise yet. And yet is the operative right. word here. As land value continues to escalate, you know, developers and owners of these properties, they're going to stand to make a whole lot more money if they choose to sell, the land under the mobile homes and build something else on it.
And Margaret, we should note that one city council member voted no, saying that it could increase property taxes. So without getting too technical, what does that mean exactly?
So city council member Lucy Willits, her reasoning for voting against this was purchasing this property would take that property off of the tax rolls because it would become publicly owned, and then it would shift that burden to other folks. And she said that purchasing this would, you know, run contrary to work by the city and the state legislature to reduce property taxes. Other council members pointed out and said, you know, this is such a small property in a huge sea of shifting values that it really wouldn't have that much impact on property taxes, but it would have a disproportionate impact on the folks who live in those homes who would be preserved.
And Councilwoman Willis also said that she doesn't want the city to become a landlord. But you pointed out the city already has some housing properties already.
Right. So the city of Boise is really unique in the fact that they own over 200 units of their own affordable housing. There are complexes and even single family homes that the city directly owns and manages all across the city, and they have some of the most affordable rents in the Treasure Valley for subsidized housing. So that's something the city already does, but we don't know a whole lot about the management structure, the ownership structure of how this will work if the city were to buy this park. I asked the city for some more details, and it sounds like those things will be determined at a later point, because that's probably what they're working on in this due diligence process. Something, you know, that's different about owning a mobile home park than owning an apartment complex or a house is that the city or the landlord would own the ground, but the folks who live in the homes would typically own their home and then rent the ground to put it on, which makes mm-hmm. them vulnerable because in a way they own their home, but if the park is sold, they can't put it anywhere. And these costs tens of thousands of dollars to move. So there's a lot of things that need to be worked out with how much the city would be charging for rents of that land. How would they maintain the actual park areas? What would the role of the homeowners be? I mean, there's a lot of questions about how that would work, but yes, the city is currently a landlord and has been a landlord for many, many years.
I want to turn now to another idea being floated by the city of Boise, and this is a revolving loan fund. So, Margaret, tell us about the fund and how it would work.
So at this point, this is only a conceptual idea the city is beginning to explore. But essentially, the way a revolving loan fund works is that the city would provide some seed money and then to get the fund started up. And then that would combine with money from local partners, nonprofits, with banks, for-profit banks, to create a cache of money. And then what that fund would do is they would loan it out to developers or other entities that are looking to either build their own affordable housing or purchase existing properties like mobile home parks that we talked about in the last segment, in order to provide quick cash and to basically help them close a deal. And so the reason this is a big deal is because whenever you're trying to do affordable housing, it's difficult in many respects. But one of the things that's so hard about it is that in order to get banks to loan you money, you have to prove that you're going to make a certain amount of profit to pay that loan back, and it's going to be worth it for that bank to loan you the money. But it's really hard to make that case if you're going to be subsidizing rents instead of you know, saying you're going to buy an apartment complex and jack the rent to $2,000 a month, so you're going to have enough money to more than pay that loan back. That's very attractive to a bank. But going to a bank and saying, hey, I want to buy this mobile home park and I want to have rents stay low there and pay you back over the course of 40 years, that's not so attractive. So this loan fund basically will be another mechanism to help nonprofits and other interested developers have another way to go close those deals. And the important thing is that this is not a grant. This would not be free money. It would turn a profit just like any other loan, but that profit, that interest rate will be a little bit lower and it will maybe be paid back over a longer period of time. But the loan, it is still going to be structured to be a profit center, you know, something that people are going to want to invest in, not just because they think it's a good cause, but because it will get those banks and financial institutions and other folks who are involved a profit. And then whatever money is turned back from people paying these loans back will then go back into the loan fund to be used to make other loans, which is why it's called a revolving loan fund, because money goes out to do projects and then money comes back in.
So if I'm hearing you right then, Margaret, it's not just city money in the fund, correct?
Right. And it would be a combination of nonprofits that are interested, philanthropic folks who want to donate, and banks. You know, they're hoping to get financial institutions that want to get in on this. But the key is that the city would have to add in an initial layer of money to get it jump started. So it wouldn't be all private money, because that's how you entice the private sector to come in on this, is, okay, we're going to jump start it with some city money, and the private sector and the philanthropic folks will add layers on top of that, but it's not all a public effort and it's not all a private effort. And that's how it sort of melds together. And this is a model that has been used for decades all over the country in different forms, to either build new affordable housing or to simply purchase properties that are, for sale and could go from being very affordable to very unaffordable very quick and displace people.
So when you wrote about the fund last week, Margaret, you said it would probably be housed as a nonprofit or within an investment firm. So how would that work?
Right. So again, and this is something the city is still exploring, and there's a lot of things we don't totally know yet about how this is going to work. But this would be something where the city would provide the money for it, but there would be another entity that would be its own thing, or it would be housed within, you know, another group that's already doing sort of sustain, like socially conscious investments or housing work elsewhere. You know, I'm not going to name names because I don't totally know how it works, how it would work yet, but basically it could be something that a local housing nonprofit might manage that the city has partnered with, or a new entity that they jumpstart, or something like that. But this would not necessarily be a function of the city government.
And in fact, the mayor's housing advisor says the loan program would probably be used to preserve affordable housing, as you mentioned, Margaret, instead of building something new. So I'm curious, would that include mobile home parks like the one we talked about in the first segment?
It very well could. And that demand for purchasing of, you know, aging out mobile home parks will probably escalate in the next 5 years as, you know, more and more that land value continues to climb and owners of those older parks maybe retire or they want to cash in or all these sorts of things. Just because we haven't seen a flood of mobile home parks being sold like in Garden City doesn't mean it's not coming. And so, you know, and there are other aging affordable housing complexes around the city, particularly on the Boise Bench and in other areas that might come up for sale. And the thing that works really well about this, these types of loan funds, is if it's structured right, this allows a nonprofit or another entity to act quick and know that they have that financing today. So if one of those parks or one of those apartment complexes goes up for sale, they can act quickly before an out-of-state investment firm, a hedge fund, or some other private entity swoops in and offers way over asking price because they have a large backlog of financing available. Mm.
So the Boise City Council President Pro Tem says this is a good idea, at least for small landlords who maybe want to retire and they want to sell their property. However, they're worried about their tenants. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this could work too. I mean, this could be an option where if someone owns an affordable housing complex or they own a park or, you know, they own whatever, they can go to the city and say, hey, you know, I want to sell my property, but I want to do it in a responsible way that's going to keep my mission. Can I sell it to this loan fund or this nonprofit? And because right now there really isn't an opportunity, you know, if I owned a massive apartment complex that rented at affordable rates, and I wanted to sell it to a nonprofit, I'm sure all those nonprofits in town would say, I love this idea, but I don't have the money and I can't get a loan to buy it. But then if we have this loan fund, then that provides that financial backing to allow that nonprofit or that developer or whoever to take on that debt and buy the property and keep things affordable while still transitioning the ownership. You know, these things, it just provides a bevy of options. And again, going back to the other mobile home park we talked about in the last segment, we don't know exactly how that sale went about because that's private information. So it could be very well that the owner of that mobile home park went to the city and said, hey, we want to sell this to you. Would you be interested? Or the city might have known about it. But that very well could happen. And this loan fund could open up the possibility of more of those types of transactions.
Yet the city council president, Elaine Clegg, said that buying some older properties might be too expensive to maintain. So there is a concern with potentially buying older properties.
Right. And so buying an older property is like buying an old car. You just, at a certain point, you know, it might run now, it might get where you need to go, but you don't know if it's going to turn on you in a month or 2 months. And so it's always important whenever you're buying an old car to get it checked out and see what the liability is, right? It's the same way whenever you're buying an older property. You know, what if all the HVAC units blow up tomorrow and you have to spend $1 million? What if the roof is falling apart? You know, there's a, like, housing gets old, and at a certain point it goes past its useful life. And usually affordable units, not always, but usually affordable units are kept affordable because there isn't a ton of investment in them over the years that might cost the landlord money. And so if they want to sell, that's part of how housing stays cheap, is that it isn't necessarily always maintained properly. And so, you know, the city, her point is that the city should make sure to do its due diligence before buying these properties and then discovering, oh, we have to do $5 million of mold remediation. I mean, that so those sorts of things you have to keep in mind. I mean, housing goes out of use. That is a fact of life. And so it's important that the city wants to make sure that they have that in mind.
So what is next for the city then in this process, Margaret? And will there be a chance for the public, I guess, to weigh in on something like this?
Yeah, so the next step is that the city is going to be, sounds like they're going to engage with a consultant to do a deep study on exactly what the market here demands and how a loan fund could be best structured to serve our needs instead of just copying what they're doing in Philadelphia or Salt Lake City or other places like that. And so that's going to happen. And then when it comes back, we're going to see more specifics on, okay, what would this look like? How is it going to be structured? Who are the partners? And at that point, it might be adopted by an ordinance that could have a public hearing component. But at this point, it's too early to say. If you have strong feelings on this project, one way or the other, you don't like it or you like it, I recommend reaching out to your city council members, talking to them about your thoughts and your concerns, because that's going to be, you know, and that's something you should always be doing. But I'm not entirely sure if we'll have a public hearing on this specific thing right now.
Well, I appreciate, Margaret, the reporting on this. We've been talking with Margaret Carmel, senior reporter with BoiseDev.com, about a possible revolving loan fund to finance affordable housing in Boise. Margaret, as always, thank you for breaking it down for all of us.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I hope you guys have a great rest of the day.
You too. Up next, a chat with historian and author Douglas Brinkley.